You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
South Africa's legal and anti-corruption community is reeling today after the brazen assassination of insolvency attorney Boer van Niekerk at his Johannesburg office. Just by way of background, he worked on a Gupta-linked insolvency case and also exposed major Ponzi schemes. And his murder follows a chilling pattern, the killing of whistleblowers and investigators like Babita Deokaran and Clutie Murray, with few arrests and little accountability. And the message to those who dare to take on corruption is unmistakable, it seems. Speak out and you may be silenced. I want to discuss what this means for whistleblowers and for the fight against corruption in South Africa. And a strong voice in this respect is Wayne Duvenage from the organization Undoing Tax Abuse. Wayne, do you think that as a result of this tragedy, South Africa is at the risk of normalizing political hits and assassinations just as part of our general corruption landscape? Hate putting the question to you, but it seems that.
Yeah, it would seem that way, very much so. One gets a sense that as these incidences continue and with very little accountability and convictions, I think there's a greater brazenness and an ability or an attitude of, we're not going to get caught. Let's take out our opponents. Let's take out people that are getting in the way of corruption. And this is a very, very serious matter. We need to really think seriously as a government and as the police and introducing specialized task teams. We need to have accountability here. This cannot become the norm, and it appears that it's becoming a serious problem.
A serious problem. And what do you think this climate of fear then means for the broader rule of law?
Well, it means that a rule of law is not worth the paper it's written on. If you can get away with this type of crime, it's going to happen more and more. We know that criminal syndicates have infiltrated many, many departments in government across the country at all levels. And if this is the way that the opponents to corruption are going to be treating those who are trying to fight it, they're going to become more brazen. They're going to realize that our criminal justice system is not able to manage and contain this. And that's a very, very serious matter. We see it now with whistleblowers who don't want to speak up. There's so much that's going wrong at the moment. And why would they want to speak up if they're putting their lives in danger? Not only their lives, their livelihoods. But when your life becomes in danger, that's serious.
And it also says something about the state's priorities when we have seen a remarkable lack of conviction in whistleblower killings.
Exactly. We've been saying this for some time, that we need capacity. We need to see results. If we're going to tackle this scourge and deal with the corruption that is becoming endemic, and it probably is now, then how do we tackle it without the resources, the skills, the systems, the cross-pollination of information that flows between the various entities like SARS, SIU, Hawks, and so forth? We've just had the National Anti-Corruption Advisory Council hand its report over to the president to start tackling corruption seriously. And one of them is the capacitation of the criminal justice system. And for as long as it is not geared up to take on these individuals and entities who, by the way, are very sophisticated, this is going to become a bigger problem. So we really have a lot of work to do. And I don't know why, Jeremy, the president is not treating this as a disaster.
There's also another consequence, and it's the chilling effect that this is inevitably going to have on ordinary citizens, Wayne, who want to report wrongdoing. The conventional wisdom would suggest it's safer not to do anything at all, and with that comes its own set of unique problems.
Yeah, and with that, crime continues to grow. More and more brazenness, more money is lost to the system, service delivery suffers. So it has huge consequences for the country if we don't get on top of this and nip it in the bud now before it becomes too widespread. So there's a lot of work to do, but again, we keep coming back to it's got to come from the top. There has to be a mindset of corruption. And crime of this nature is now serious, and it needs to be tackled in a very different way. We've got good laws, we've got good structures, but they're useless if they're not capacitated to deal with these problems.
You talk about developing a mindset as far as anti-corruption is concerned. How do you start making sure that South African society more broadly starts to shift its thinking?
Well, you know, I think that South Africa's society at large has shifted its thinking. It is fed up with what it is seeing every single day. You don't, can't open your digital news or print media and have an expose of something that's gone seriously wrong. The fact that people are being assassinated that are getting in the way with it is making it even worse. But the mindset is there from a public point of view, from, you know, this whole social compact, citizens pay their taxes and we need the service delivery, but the service delivery around security and crime prevention is not there. Government is dropping the ball, and the mindset about dealing with this seriously has to come from the top. The president has to sit down with the various role players and capacitate, but not just throw money and people at the problem, do it systematically and properly, and we need to move fast. And that National Anti-Corruption Council's report is a good start, because it deals with whistleblowers as well. It deals with education, educating the public on how do we tackle corruption, but it also deals with potential corruption courts. It deals with so much that needs to happen when it comes to fighting the scourge.
When you talk about capacitation as far as this is concerned, and that is critical, there's been talk about a dedicated whistleblower protection fund or even a specialized agency. Where's your head in that respect?
Well, it's with regards to this anti-corruption council that put this report out. They're talking about a section, chapter 9 institution, which has its own powers, reporting directly to parliament, and it has funds to do so, and it introduces whistleblower protection. There's quite a number of initiatives. The problem is that those plans are just ideas until they're able to be implemented. But at the same time, you know, you can't go and set up another whole set of plans when we've got good institutions right now. The NPA, the Investigating Directorate, SARS, they all need funds to build their capacity to take on the criminal syndicates. And they can do it, but they can't do it without those funds. You know, I've always said, you give 10 billion rand to the criminal justice system, if spent wisely, and you get a return potentially of 100 billion rand, a good return on investment for the country. So why is the NPA and the Hawks and SIU, for that matter, and SARS, why are they so cash-strapped and bound by not getting these funds from Treasury? I know we cash-strapped as Treasury, but put the money and invest it in these areas where we need it, and we'll get that return.
Wayne Duvenage, thank you very much indeed, from the organization Undoing Tax Abuse.